KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly to mostly cloudy skies at 65 degrees. We do look for partly cloudy skies to continue today with a high around 80. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with a check of the news on KJAN. Well, a man who attacked a deputy during his escape in eastern Nebraska has pleaded no contest. Court records say 38-year-old Eric Scott entered the pleas Wednesday. The charges of escape, assault on an officer, theft, and use of a weapon. The second weapons count was dropped. Officials say Scott was being driven to court in Fremont, Nebraska on September 20th by a Dodge County Sheriff's deputy in an unmarked government car when he slipped out of his handcuffs and used his leg iron to choke the deputy. Scott gained control of the car in Saunders County, Nebraska, forcing the deputy out. He was arrested the next day after he was found walking near the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office in Council Bluffs. Officials found the Dodge County deputy's service weapon on Scott when he was arrested. Also, in other state news, federal and state investigators are poring through data related to a missing University of Iowa student's digital footprint in an effort to track her whereabouts and online activities in the hours before her disappearance. The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation spokesman Mitch Mortfit said Wednesday that investigators believe they put together a pretty solid timeline of what 20-year-old Molly Tibbetts was doing before she was last seen jogging in her hometown of Brooklyn on the evening of July the 18th. And Mortfit says he can't give out details of those activities, though. He says the data comes from several search warrants issued to social media and fitness tracking companies, including Fitbit. Friends and family say Tibbetts, who is an avid runner, was usually wearing her Fitbit. Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate says he will challenge a temporary injunction placed on parts of the state's new voter ID law. Pate said in a statement released Wednesday night that he's disappointed in the decision by Polk County Judge Karen Romano. Pate says he'll appeal it to the Iowa Supreme Court. He defended the law, which was approved last year in the Republican-controlled legislature. It goes into effect in 2019, though voters were asked to show valid ID this year as part of a soft rollout. Those without valid IDs were still able to cast regular ballots. The lawsuit's plaintiffs are the League of United Latin American Citizens of Iowa and an Iowa State University student. The injunction will stop the state from implementing some components of the law around absentee voting. Other parts of the law will remain in effect. A state oversight board has approved a Dubuque hospital's request to buy $5.2 million worth of equipment for a new cancer center. The State Health Facilities Council voted 3-1 at its meeting Wednesday for the proposal from Mercy Medical Center Dubuque. Mercy plans to start building its $25 million treatment center this year and open it in 2020. In October, the council rejected Mercy's request. Unity Point Health Findlay Hospital had argued at the time that its Wendt Cancer Center already provides the necessary services in Dubuque. The council is charged with preventing unnecessary duplication of medical services. Ted Townsend is interim president and CEO of Unity Point Health Findlay Hospital, and he told the Telegraph Herald after Wednesday's meeting in Ankeny that his organization is disappointed by the new decision. He expects Findlay's officials will appeal. A U.S. motorcycle manufacturer says it plans to increase production in Poland after President Trump ordered tariffs on steel and aluminum, and the European Union retaliated with tariffs on motorcycles, but the company says the move will not reduce jobs at its U.S. plants. Last month, Minnesota-based Polaris Industries said it was considering moving a production of its Indian motorcycles brand from the plant in Iowa to one in Poland as a way to deal with the retaliatory tariffs. On Wednesday, Polaris CEO Scott Wine said the higher production in Opole, Poland next year had been planned for quite some time, but avoiding tariffs was an added benefit. He spoke as the company released second quarter earnings, which were better than expected. Employees have gone back to work at a giant equipment manufacturer in central Iowa that was badly damaged by a tornado last week. The Des Moines Register reports that nearly three-quarters of Vermeer's employees returned to work on Tuesday. The company's Pella plant employs 2,700 people. Several of the company's plants were hit by an EF3 tornado last week. The storm was one of at least a dozen twisters that touched down in the central part of the state. Vermeer spokeswoman Liz Sporer says several buildings sustained damage. Two more plants are expected to open at the end of next week. Seven workers were treated for minor injuries after the tornado hit. No employees were seriously injured or killed. Well, last Wednesday, the high school baseball team in Marshalltown, Iowa, was celebrating an unlikely berth in the state tournament. Less than 24 hours later, the Bobcats, their families, neighbors, and friends were ducking for cover as an EF3 tornado ravaged their town of nearly 30,000. It's been an extraordinary, hectic time ever since for the Bobcats, whose lives have been altered, or rather have alternated, between helping the town clean up and preparing for their first trip to state in 9 years. But Marshalltown finally got back to baseball again Wednesday night in a state quarterfinal against powerhouse Urbandale in hopes of extending a season overshadowed by a devastating twister. The Marshalltown mayor says the Marshall County Courthouse may be closed for up to a year for tornado repairs. Last week's tornado caused severe structural and water damage throughout the building and knocked out the cupola. Mayor Joel Greer toured the courthouse on Tuesday, and he said it's going to take a lot longer than they thought to fix it, so they'll be looking for temporary quarters that will have to last a year. The courthouse operations are being moved elsewhere in town, except for civil courts. They're being relocated to Nevada in Story County. Work on a new bridge connecting Iowa and Illinois has been delayed by high water in the Mississippi River. The February closure of the bridge at Cibola for safety concerns stopped access to the U.S. Highway 52, Illinois Highway 64 bridge over the river to Savannah, Illinois. Drivers have since been making the 36-mile detour or taking a free ferry. The $8.5 million replacement bridge was expected to be opened by Labor Day, but now the opening is projected for several weeks later. Yesterday, Iowa DOT engineer Jim Schnoblin blamed the delay on the slower-than-anticipated rate at which the river is dropping. The snowmelt and heavy rains had swollen the river above flood stage at several spots earlier this year. In other state news, Donald Call, a longtime newspaper columnist and Pulitzer Prize-winning finalist twice over, has died at the age of 83. His son Chris Call told the Register that his father died on Sunday at his home in Washington, D.C., following a long battle with prostate cancer that had spread to his skeleton. Call started his journalism career at the Des Moines Tribune, an afternoon newspaper, in the early 1960s, covering public safety and other topics. He took over the Over the Coffee column in 1965. Call transformed the column, which had been a light feature that included society gossip, into a humorous and often acerbic commentary on current events. At his height in his career, Call's column was syndicated in 150 newspapers. His column was a finalist for the Pulitzer in 1987 when he wrote for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and again in 1999 for the Register. Donald Call was also the co-founder of Register's annual Great Bike Ride Across Iowa, obviously known as RagBri. And a Northeast Iowa attorney has been accused of looting the estate of a woman who died in 2009. Howard County court records say 56-year-old Todd Gowalki is charged with theft. His next court hearing is set for August the 10th. A criminal complaint filed against him says he took more than $35,000 from the estate and used it for gambling and for business and personal expenses. The complaint also says Gowalki has promised to repay all of the money. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.